Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Amo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. What's up? How's it going?
Not much. Glad to have you on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
And, again, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this show. And, you know, we got some topics we like to talk about today. We're going to talk about my thoughts about the Adam Gase, press conference, the very memorable press conference for the wrong reasons. We're going to get into that. We're going to also preview NFL, you know, conference championship games that are coming tomorrow. And also talk about the Adam Ottavino signing and much more. So if you'd like to talk about any of these topics and more, feel free to call in at 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. I look forward to hearing from you guys. Let's just dive into the Adam Gase press conference. The Adam Gase gaze conference, because he was just gazing into midair, you know, and he started a whole meme, you know, about him looking at a flying taco, you know. It was just, I was watching it, and I was like, what is he doing? Like, he looked like a deer in headlights, just looking
spaced
all
out
over the place, spaced out. I mean, it was ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't even really positive about the signing in the first place, because I felt they could have got much better guys with experience, most notably Mike McCarthy. But
who they should have gotten.
They should have gotten him, hands down. But, you know, the Jets, they saw otherwise. They saw something we didn't see. We all know Adam Gase saw everything that the Jets saw in him. So, I mean, that's hopefully Jets can prove the world wrong, because that was not a good look. No pun intended. Like, he looked scared. I don't know if it was the media, you know, him not being in a place with all this media around him. Like, it did not instill any, you know, confidence in me, you know, that he can handle the pressure. You know what I'm saying? Like, what is he gonna do if he's staring across the field and he sees Bill Belichick, you know, brainstorming against them, you know, in a close game? You know, I mean, come on, like, what is he afraid of? It's not like any of the news reporters are gonna like sucker punch him, storm the stage and sucker punch him while he's talking. Like, I mean, come on, what's up? Like,
maybe the New York pressure got him.
I would understand that in a playoff game, playoffs. I mean, come on, like, this. I mean, come on, it's not that serious, man. Like, just relax, just be yourself. You know, answer the questions. They're going to ask you tough questions, because obviously they passed up some more, you know, notable names like McCarthy, you know, Caldwell, even Rule from college, that they were rumored to be going after too. Like, come on, like, just answer the questions. They're not going to fight you if you say the wrong thing. Just answer the questions, you know. And another thing that annoyed me, maybe even more, I'd say more so than him, you know, bugging out, at the press conference was they never said the C word. They never mentioned a championship. They never mentioned, you know, the main goal is ultimately to win the Super Bowl. The main goal is to ultimately win the championship because the Jets fans have been starving for 50 years for a title. And it just seems like there's no end in sight. But, you know, I'm confident, as long as me and, Sam Darnold's relationship grows, I feel like that's in the future or something. I don't know, something to that, you know, extent, you know, the X's and O's, you know, how many games they win on the field. And if they're, you know, they're competitive, you know, that's right. The most important thing. But, you know, first impression as in the new Jets head coach was, I think, a lot more memorable than it needed to be. But
yeah, I mean, it's that whole press conference, you know, it's he looked like he was probably intimidated, maybe, the New York media. And he had some, you know, little nerves. His nerves are acting up a bit there.
I know.
If this is a sign of how he's going to act under pressure, then there's going to be problems.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I know he has a, you know, good resume, being an offensive coordinator, and he was very sought after before he took the Miami Dolphins job, even though, you know, he would eventually finish with a sub-500 record, a few games under 500. I think he was like 23 and 25 or 23 and 26 or something to that effect.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he's coached some, you know, obviously he coached Peyton Manning at the tail end of his career in Denver. You know, he coached Tim Tebow during his, you know, his that you know, wonderful year he had, you know, in Denver. I mean, basically, you know, as a head coach, he hasn't done anything yet. You know, you just hope second time around, you know, he'll learn from his mistakes. He'll learn from the, you know, issues he had with the player personnel, the top, you know, the top players, and you know, he learns from it, and he could gel with the Jets, unlike he did down in Miami. You know what I mean? So, and I mean, to his credit, he had a 5-1 record against the Jets, but then again, under the Todd Bowles, you know, era that just ended, it wasn't like he was facing, you know, Eubanks during the Super Bowl era. So, I mean, you know, we'll just see what he does, man. It's a bad first impression, but the most important thing is that he wins, you know, he wins games. Hopefully he'll win a lot of those, and we'll forget about it, you know. I mean, look at Joe Torre. Before he came to the Yankees, you know, he managed the Braves and a few other teams. You know, after he had a borderline Hall of Fame career, you know, as a player. But, you know, the newspaper said he was clueless, and, of course, he proved them wrong. He won 4 titles with the Yankees. So first impressions isn't everything, but, you know, now is his time, once the season starts in the fall, to show what he's made of. You know, he's reportedly an intense, head coach and an offensive coordinator. So hopefully he'll be able to show his passion once the games, you know, start to matter, you know, for the Jets. And another hiring, I would have been a lot more pumped up about him being, you know, on the Jets organization if he was an offensive coordinator, you know. But, you know, he's the head coach, so we'll see what happens. Another move I did like is that they officially announced Greg Williams as the defensive coordinator. You know, so
that's good.
So I think he's basically going to be in charge of the defense. Gase is going to, you know, just focus on the offense, and they're both very intense, passionate guys. So I think I think it'll work out. You know, obviously sometimes it doesn't work out when you got two alpha males going at it. But if they have, you know, they have a common goal to turn the Jets around, you know, hopefully it'll work out. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, you know, like you said, this, as long as he wins, you know, his press conference will be a distant memory. No one's going to remember that, you know. What all the Jets fans want right now is for their team to be successful. And if he can turn this team around and get them in the playoffs and, you know, have their championship hopes high, you know, people will love him. You know, he'll be the talk of the town for the right reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. For real. Absolutely. And the talk of the town now in the NFL is, of course, you know, the championship games that are happening tomorrow. Yeah, they got some big games. You know, you got the Los Angeles Rams versus the New Orleans Saints, and it's gonna be down in New Orleans, man. It's gonna be crazy. But
big games tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Drew Brees is gonna come true and get them to the Super Bowl again. What's your thoughts?
That's gonna be a good game tomorrow. I mean, all four of these teams are actually the top four offenses in the NFL. And, you know, Saints at home, Drew Brees. Yeah, I mean, I see the Saints winning this, you know. I think it'll be close, but I think the Saints are going to be too much, you know. And their defense has gotten better in the second half of the season as well. So I think Saints are going to advance, and they're going to win this game. And I have $20 on that on tomorrow as well.
Yep.
So they have to win.
If they pull it off, as we both think they will, you're gonna be wearing Drew Brees jersey.
I won't go that far.
But yeah, it should be a great game, man. No doubt about that. I'm looking forward to checking that game out.
Oh yeah.
And then on the AFC side, you got the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, arguably the hottest team in the NFL right now, versus the New England Patriots. Yup, they're gonna be battling them there, and you know, they're gonna be in Kansas City. Normally, I would pick the Chiefs. You know, I am rooting for Pat Mahomes, or should I say Patrick Mahomes, Pat Mahomes' son. You know, he's really leading that team to new heights, man, and I hope he could do it, you know. But unfortunately, I think Tom Brady is gonna beat them and advance to the Super Bowl. I mean, it'd be a great moment for Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know, to get to the Super Bowl. But man, you just can't count on the Patriots until they're eliminated. I hope I'm wrong, but I think Chiefs are going to lose at home.
Well, you know, it's this is another high power game. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. There's some things that concern me about the Patriots. The Patriots, this year on the road, they've been 3-5. They've had a horrible year on the road. I mean, they're undefeated at home. If this game was on at home, I would go with the Patriots by far.
Yeah.
You know, but the fact that they have to go into Arrowhead and play the Chiefs on the road, and historically, Patriots also haven't been good on the road in the playoffs. They haven't won a road playoff game in the playoffs since, I think, 2007. The last time they lost in the NFC Championship game was to the Broncos. You know, the Broncos went to the Super Bowl, and that was on the road. You know, and the other year they lost the road game in the playoffs was the AFC Championship game. And I think that was also to the Colts. So he's gotten me and my Peyton Manning teams twice, you know, and there's another year I think they lost to the Broncos as well, I think. Peyton Manning might have been on that team as well. I'm not sure on that, but I mean, they haven't fared well on the road in the playoffs, and they haven't done well this year, you know, at all on the road also. and they've had some injuries. I mean, Gronk looks like a former shelf of himself, you know?
Right.
If he can't get going, I mean, they could still score points, but I don't know. This Chiefs team, they look like the real deal all year, and I think this is Andy Reid's year, finally. I think he's finally going to advance, beat the Patriots, and who knows, maybe win the Super Bowl, but, you know, if that happens, we'll talk about that a bit later, but I'm going with the Chiefs, and I also have $20 on them, too.
Well, I hope you get that. I hope you get that $20. You know, for your sake and me being a Jet fan who hates the Patriots. The Patriots are the Yankees of football. So, I hope I'm wrong. I hope Chiefs can continue to ride this incredible wave that they're doing.
Yeah.
This year,
I feel confident that Patriots are going on the road. If they were at home, I would not. Trust me, I would. Definitely go with the Patriots on this one.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, it's close. You know, I was wrestling with this because, you know, Chiefs, they've been great. But, man, I just know from personal experience, when I'm rooting against the team, they usually win. So, I think it's going to happen again tomorrow. But I hope I'm wrong.
Should be a good game.
I think the winner of the eventual Super Bowl champions coming out of this AFC game, even though obviously you can't count out Drew Brees if he does advance, you know, to the Super Bowl as well. But I think I strongly believe that the next Super Bowl champion will be the eventual AFC champion come tomorrow.
Possible.
But we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And if you wanna see and hear more of my thoughts on this game, feel free to check out my YouTube channel, Sports of Millennium TV, where I go further in depth, you know, about these upcoming games and even the eventual Super Bowl winner. But, you'll check that out, YouTube, you know, after you watch this, listen to this show. But, moving on. Yeah, another big news in the sports world is the Yankees. They did what everybody thought they would do, and they bolstered that bullpen, that already formidable bullpen, and they got a local guy, a Brooklyn native, and a guy who grew up a Yankee fan, Adam Ottavino, to finally put on the Yankee pinstripes. He was already wearing the Colorado Rockies pinstripes, but now he's wearing the pinstripes that he was born to wear. And as a result, he signed a 3-year, $27 million contract to join his boyhood dream to become a Yankee. So congratulations to him. And as a result, the Yankees bullpen is as solid as ever. You know, they got Chapman and Betances. I'm trying to think of another. Who else is it? Oh, Britton. They re-signed Britton. I mean, it's just a strong bullpen. I mean, what's your thoughts on it, being a Yankee fan?
Oh, man, it's like, I mean, I know the Yankees were very interested in him, you know, since they lost Robertson, you know. But, yeah, they definitely needed to add him. They needed that right-handed guy in the bullpen who would replace Robertson, and they got their man. I mean, Ottavino, he had a great year last year, bounce-back year after having a, you know, bad 2017 year. But, you know, he is clearly the best right-handed reliever on the market. You know, and I'm glad that he decided to come to the Yankees. I mean, this bullpen now, it's deadly. I mean, last year, Yankees set a record for, like, striking out. That bullpen set a record for striking over 30% batters. Now with Ottavino, I mean, I can't even imagine how tough this bullpen is going to be on guys now. But pretty much helps out the starters because, you know, we have a lot of starters who are aging, like CeCe. I mean, Tanaka's not. He's not very old, but, you know, he's getting up there in age. But, you know, some of these guys might not be able to go past the fifth inning sometimes. So you have guys in the bullpen like Britton or Ottavino or Chad Holder or Green. They could step in and, you know, eat up some innings when these guys can't go past the fifth. So it strengthens bullpen and, you know, it extends the bullpen and it makes this bullpen even better than it already is. So it was a great move, I think. And well, I'm sorry. I know you wanted Ottavino badly, but you know, things happen, man.
Yeah, I wanted him. I admit it. I want him to be on the Mets. I had a strong feeling, unfortunately, he'd be a Yankee. And then once he signed and I confirmed and found out he grew up a Yankee fan, I mean, it made perfect sense. You know, he had to take that shot. $27 million, you know, you sign with the Yankees, you know, you got a chance to win.
Yeah.
You know, it's a smart move, a no-brainer. You know, that's a guy who really wants to put on the pinstripes, unlike Corbin, you know, who basically, you know, used the Yankees and then just signed another deal.
Yeah.
You know, signed with the Nationals. So, you know, this is a guy who wanted to be a Yankee, and now he gets to fulfill his boyhood dream, and he has a chance to do some magical things in pinstripes.
Yeah.
So congratulations to him.
Yeah, I mean, and even if he does do horribly, if he has a bad year, I mean, Yankees still have other guys in that bullpen, you know. So, I mean, I know he's going to be good, but, you know, even if he does have a bad year, Yankees still have other guys that they can rely on in that bullpen.
Right.
Well, let's hope he has a good season.
Yeah, and now on the other front, you know, Yankees, you know, after they signed LeMahieu last week, it looks like they're not going to go after Machado unless Machado takes a pay cut, you know, because he's rumored to be going to the White Sox, but his agent refuted the rumor that he that they offered him, what, a 7-year contract? So we'll see what happens. And his father said, Machado's father said that he's not necessarily going to sign, you know, the biggest contract, which we all assume he will. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. I think at the end of the day, he's either going to be a Yankee or maybe a White Sox. I mean, it doesn't look like he's going to sign with the Phillies. You know, the Phillies look like they're going to sign Bryce Harper and maybe even Craig Kimbrell. But, you know, we'll see what happens with that. You know,
and there's news that the Yankees might be interested in trading for Nolan Arenado.
Arenado, yeah.
Arenado from the Rockies.
Yeah.
And that would have to involve Andujar, of course. And if Yankees do that, I think they're making a big mistake because Andujar, he's a young guy. The guy hit 27 home runs last year, rookie year, almost 100 RBIs, and almost batted 300. And you're going to trade him? Come on now.
Like, Yankees are always going to be in a strong position to re-sign him in next year's offseason anyway. So I wouldn't be I wouldn't make that trade either. You know, even though Nolan Arenado is a phenomenal player, arguably the best third baseman in the game. You know, so yeah, if I was the Yankees, I wouldn't make the trade either. But I would strongly go after him if he becomes a free agent next year, which most likely he's not going to be able to sign a contract extension with the Rockies, but see what happens.
Yeah.
And then on the Mets side, you know, they had the press conference with, you know, the Last Jedi, Jed Lowry. And, you know, they made their, Brody Van Wagenen made another strong claim and basically told the media that he feels like they're, you know, they're still the best team in the National League East and to come get them, you know. And, you know, I appreciate his bravado. I appreciate his confidence. I definitely appreciate the moves he made early on the offseason. But there's still a center fielder away. And maybe a bullpen guy, preferably a lefty guy, from being a real strong National League team. And the one move that they should do, they're not going to do it. And that's going after Bryce Harper, a young guy in his prime, a guy you steal away from your top competitor in the Nationals. You prevent the Phillies from getting him. you know, and you this is basically a typical Yankee Red Sox move. You strengthen your team by stealing the top player from your division. It's a no-brainer move. You got a young guy in his prime. This guy is going to make Citi Field seem like Citizens Bank Park or Yankee Stadium, you know, mm-hmm. if he came to New York, you know, which he could still do as a member of Pinstripes, but it is seeming like unlikely as of right now. It looks like he's most likely going to go to the Phillies, maybe even Dodgers, who knows. But, yeah, I think the Mets should go after him for sure, but the Mets don't look like they're gonna make that move, because they're talking big. Now they gotta finish. Now they gotta really go over the top. All the moves that he made so far were necessary, because that's how bad the team was last year, in every possible way other than the top four starting pitchers.
Right.
So all those moves he made was necessary to change the culture of the team. But now is the time to put them over the top so he could talk big and back it up. Because right now, if Bryce Harper stays in the National League East and it's not miraculously with the Mets, he can't be talking this big, you know. Because if he goes to the Phillies is going to be a team to reckon with, just like they were for the most part of last year. They only finished two games under 500, with an 80-82 record. You got the Braves, who's always hungry. And then you got the Nationals, who improved their team as well. You know,
yeah.
Signing Corbin, and I'm trying to remember who else did they get of note. But the Nationals aren't playing either. So Mets gotta, if you want us to, you got to believe, but they got to put the money, you know, to secure the Mets having a successful run in September and hopefully October.
Yeah.
And end this 33-year drought, championship drought. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, Mets, you know, they're a big market team. You know, they should go after guys like Machado and Harper.
Mm-hmm.
But
and get Keiko too while you're at it. You know,
yeah, Keiko, Kimball, you know.
I'm tired of seeing Vargas, man. You know, pitching every fifth game. I'd rather trade him for Sonny Gray, who's rumored to be traded soon.
Oh, it looks like Yankees traded him already to the Reds.
Well, there's breaking news there.
Yeah.
Congratulations to the Yankees, they got rid of him.
Prospects, it looks like.
So there you go. The Yankees did trade Sonny Gray.
Yeah.
So congratulations to the Yankees.
Good riddance.
But yeah. I wish the same could be for the Mets getting rid of Vargas, but what can you do? You just gotta hope he can bounce back, or they can sign somebody like a Keiko or somebody like that who could push him out of the fifth rotation, out of the rotation as the fifth starter, and make him be a situational lefty or a lefty, a long reliever, somebody to that ilk.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens. But, moving on. Yeah, let's talk about the Nets, man. Props to the Nets, man. They are really doing well, man. They're near 500. They just reached, I think, 500 feet most recently. I think they lost to the Raptors in their most recent game. But they've been winning a lot of games. They've been winning a lot of close games lately. So congratulations to them. Dinwiddie is doing his thing. D'Angelo Russell, I think he had 40 points in a game recently as well. So the Nets, they're really the talk of the town right now.
Yeah, last night I think they just came back from 20 down in the game against Orlando, and they ended up winning that game. So, yeah, they've been killing it. Showing the Knicks how you should be playing.
Well, man, they're really doing their thing. Yeah, they won final score 117-115 to the Magic. So, yeah, man, they are really doing their thing. They're like currently on a I think that's what 3-game winning streak.
2 games above 500, right?
Yeah, they're 1 game over 500. They're 24-23. So
okay,
you know they're doing their thing. If you're a Nets fan, you gotta love it. Yeah, they scored 40 points on Friday night. So, you know, props to the Nets, man. They're really doing their thing, and apparently they have cap space for two players. So, as a Knicks fan, we gotta watch out, man. This guy, for the first time ever, probably since the Jason Kidd, Vince Carter, Alonzo Mourning days, they're a real threat to the Knicks, man.
They are, yeah.
And to the free agency. Knicks gotta watch out, man.
Yeah, and they play in New York, too, so, you know, if a player wants to come to New York, it might be to Brooklyn.
Yeah, because, you know, when you come to New York, you always want to come to the Knicks, because Knicks is, you know, the marquee team in the city, but man, the Nets, they're playing the way we expected the Knicks to play. You know, all these young talented guys, you know, who were, you know, lottery busts, but who are, you know, finally starting to live up to their potential. If they could just play defense, especially in the fourth quarter, third and fourth quarter, they'd be in the playoff hunt. But you know, kudos to the Nets, man. They're playing the game the right way. And they're winning exciting games. Knicks, on the other hand, you know, they playing well against the Wizards Friday night. Actually, Friday morning. Friday afternoon, because they were in London. And they were leading most of the game until they had, like, the Wizards went on a, what, 14-2 run to overtake the Knicks. And then they just basically, you know, the lead was basically seesawing. The Knicks briefly took the lead back again as the game was about to end. When I'm trying to remember who it was. I think it was Vonleh who hit the baby hook to give them a 1-point lead before time was running down. And then afterwards, was it Vonleh? I can't remember who it was. I think it was Moutier. Moutier, called for goaltending, I think, what was it, 0.4 seconds left into the clock or something like that. And then, of course, you know, Knicks had the ball and air ball, and the Knicks lose 101-100. So, you know, that was it.
Typical Knicks.
Typical Knicks, unfortunately, man. They had that game, man, and they oh yeah, the goaltending was from Trier, not Moutier. It was from Trier. And yeah. Unfortunately, Vonleh had the hook shot to give us the brief lead. It was a 199 lead, but you know, the Knicks weren't able to hold on, you know, thanks to their lack of defense, their lack of scoring, and by Trier getting called for the goaltending when he attempted to block the shot as it went in. And Moutier, he had 25 points. Luke Hornet, he scored 16 points, and he was killing it from beyond the arc. He knocked his first 4 shots behind the arc. He was really killing it on the floor, you know, in the first half. And, Knox, on the other hand, he only scored 5 points. And, of course, you know, Cantor, he didn't play. He didn't visit London because, you know, he feared of being assassinated because he has issues with the president, you know, because of their different political views. So that's why he feared not to go. So that's that with the Knicks. Hopefully Knicks can turn it around, you know. Yeah, I know some Knicks fans are like, you know, hey, at least we got the lottery. you know,
we've seen that every year. Almost
got one chance closer to getting the lottery, but I really wanted them to get that game. You know, they were in London. You know, you got that international view. You know, you could be building future Knicks fans, or a future Knicks player who'd be like, hey, you know, I saw that Knicks game. The Knicks were on a good team this year, but watching that game the Knicks play, you know, made me want to play for them. Who knows? But, you know, we'll see what happens, man. I guess the bright side is that we're one step closer to getting one of the 3-0 from Duke.
Let's hope so. I mean,
but we'll see what happens.
Porzingis back soon, too.
Yeah. And I'm worried about Porzingis, too, because, you know, we're most likely going to make him, you know, he's going to be restricted free agent, so we're going to have to re-sign him, and who knows if he's going to re-sign, you know.
Right.
Well, I don't know, man. If we get Durant, that would definitely increase our chances of, you know, re-signing Porzingis and turning our franchise around, but I don't know. We've done the same, you know, dance over and over again with LeBron and every other free agent spurring us, you know, and signing elsewhere. So we'll see what happens in July. But lastly, WWE, and there's a new Intercontinental Champion, and that's Bobby Lashley.
Finally.
I say congratulations to him, man. About time he finally won the Intercontinental title. Hopefully they'll use him the right way, and eventually we'll see the Brock Lesnar match, him versus Brock Lesnar for the first time ever. So we'll see what happens because, you know, with Ambrose and Seth Rollins, the two people he fought against, the title, if Seth Rollins retained it if Seth Rollins would have won it or Dean Ambrose would have retained it, it would have done nothing for them because, you know, they're championship caliber guys. You know, they've won titles before. But Bobby Lashley, when he came back, you know, he's been underutilized, you know, as a failed comic relief guy. The best thing they've done for him was pairing him up with Leo Rush as his manager. And now that they put the Intercontinental title on him, maybe WWE will view him seriously and they'll give him the push that he needs so that he could be a credible threat for Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, make him have some, great matches, you know. Now he's going to have there's going to be some contenders for those titles going forward. So
yeah.
You can see him feuding with some guys like Drew McIntyre, Finn Balor, maybe.
Yeah, Finn Balor, another one. If he fails at getting the title at Royal Rumble, which most likely he will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it definitely opens up a lot of more possibilities for the Intercontinental title. And now Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins can feud with each other over their bad blood instead of a title.
Right, right.
And I think strangely enough, it's going to be actually even better because of that. But
this could give Lashley a boost.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And, I don't think there was anything else that happened on WWE other than that I could think of. Royal Rumble's coming soon. I mean, WWE did show a funny skit of R-Truth and Carmella visiting WWE headquarters as their vacation. And winning the mixed match challenge. So they're both gonna be the 30th entrant at the Royal Rumble.
Carmella been looking good with that new hair, that new hair color.
Yeah, you can't argue about that for sure.
I'd bang her.
And let me see what else. Lastly, the fight, Pacquiao versus Broner. I think Broner is going to defeat Pacquiao. You know, unfortunately, you know, Pacquiao is a legend, but it looks like his time is over.
Yeah, it looks like the fight's going to start shortly here. And I'm going to go with Broner.
I totally agree with you, man. And, you know, that's it, man. You know, check out my show next week, Saturday, where I give my Super Bowl predictions officially. And we'll see if my predictions are right. And we'll talk about what happened, the latest stuff that happened in sports. And, of course, check out my Sports of Religion TV channel, exclusively on YouTube. So you have anything you'd like to say quickly, Mac, before we go?
Yeah, check out my show, iMac. It's here Saturday night at 10. And, yeah, come back here. Check out Sports of Religion, only on Block Talk Radio.
Yep, so come back 11 p.m. next week. I'm William Rummel. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next time. Peace.